May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 669. Poor sinners, sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus call, though wretched be your case, he came the lost to seek and save by grace. Hymn 669.
Thank you. The reading of the Word of God is from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 42. Chapter 42 of the prophecy of Isaiah. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, hath called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images. Say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honourable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. May he bless his own word and help us in prayer. O Lord, thou holy, gracious, most merciful God, Lord, a few sinners, Lord, gathered again in this thy house of prayer, thou hast given the strength and health, thou hast indeed put the desire within that we should gather around the word of truth. Lord, we thank thee for the mercy that has spared us. Lord, here we are in thy house and in thy presence. Impart to us at this time a spirit of prayer. Grant us that grace of faith to bring our prayers to thee and plead the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, what a high favour, what a blessing it is to have a way made, O Lord, that we, poor and needy and destitute by nature, can ever approach thee, can ever speak to thee. O thou who art in the glories of heaven, Lord, here we are on earth, lay a burden down with various cares and concerns. But Lord, the desire is to approach thee. What a favour, Lord, that we have a God to go to. What a favour it is that we've been brought into that exercise. Oh, hast thou not said, call upon me in a day of trouble, I will deliver thee. For thou shalt glorify me. Lord, so we come as we are. Not a scrap of improvement, Lord. And no good in ourselves whatsoever, but we come as we are. And beg for Jesus' sake. That thou would be here amongst us. Lord Jesus, remember thy promise. And come where we've gathered together in thy name. Lord, we thank thee for as many as are gathered. Lord, we bless thee for the desire to gather. But oh, it's Jesus in the midst. Lord, we would that this night we could say that we've been brought together where Jesus has been. Lord, what a favour divine. What could be compared with that? This side of glory. To be where Jesus is. Oh, may it be such an occasion, Lord, that memory will not indeed lose the preciousness or the blessedness of such a gathering. Lord, and yet we're thankful in the word of God Lord, as it is now, we trust we can say, as it was then, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Lord, it was a way of ridicule. Lord, how they condemned the Lord Jesus. Lord, but oh, we are thankful for its record. Lord, if we should, if thou would come where thou art, amongst those who are worthy, Lord, amongst those that are upright, amongst those that are indeed free from sin, Lord, thou would never come. Lord, thou hast made a covenant. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is in covenant engagement, Lord, to redeem sinners. Lord, that is the blessing. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast a people, and that amongst that people we would be. Lord, we like them, our sinners. And oh, we long for those manifestations, not only of thy company, of thy presence, but also of thy blessing. This man receiveth sinners. Lord, we come to thee as exactly as we are. We do pray too that, Lord, our gathering together may not be in vain. How have we come? Dear Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest what the feelings of each soul is, or whether there is any feeling. And yet, Lord, we are persuaded indeed that it is so. So we pray, Lord, that there may be something to take home. Something which God will give, something which the Spirit will apply to the soul of each one of us. Oh, may it be such a time, Lord, when the word shall abide and bring forth fruit. Lord, hear the prayers that have gone up. And who, Lord, amongst us has prayed for this service, prayed about it? Who amongst us, Lord, has committed it to thee? Lord, who has come seeking that there may be a word? Something, Lord, that the Lord will use and bless to never dying souls. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that there may be this oneness, Lord, between the pulpit and the desk and the pew. Lord, that oneness which is of grace. That wonderful time, Lord, when there's that togetherness in the word of truth. Lord, the experience of poor sinners is that thou are needy, and that thou hast brought a word to such. Lord, get to thyself this night honour and glory through the word. Lord, we do seek to pray for each that are here. Thankful, Lord, for everyone. Lord, hear our prayers for everyone, if this is thy will. Especially do we commend to thee the young people, thankful that it is in them to come, and it's, we bless thee, Lord, that they are amongst us, they have a soul. Lord, they're on life's journey, however long or short it may be. Lord, give them ears to hear and hearts to receive. Oh, help them to cast all their cares, providence, and Lord, if it's thy will, the things of grace, to cast all their cares on thee. Lord, may they know the difference between the flesh and grace. May they know the difference between the world and spiritual things. Lord, may they have a hunger and a desire for the things of Jesus. Make him precious, Lord. Oh, he is precious. But may these young people find him precious. May they bless thee for the name of Jesus. We do pray for those also in the midst of life, those, Lord, have responsibilities, cares, concerns. Lord, be with them and appear for them. Go with them, go before them, Lord. Oh, make the mercy of God to appear. And hear us, Lord, for these in their increasing years, Lord, we pray for all. Lord, because thou art a God that cannot change, how we bless thee for those words, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Lord, we do no changes. We feel it, Lord. The poet, Lord, reminds us that we're sometimes hot and we're sometimes cold. But then he goes on to say, but Jesus is the same. Lord, that's our mercy. Day after day, Lord, thou art the same. Thou canst not alter. We do pray, Lord, that it may be proved in concerning thy love to thy people. Lord, whom once thou hast loved, thou wilt never leave, but love them to the end. Lord, the mercies that are in Christ and through him are unalterable mercies. Mercies will not be taken back, will not be erased. Lord, we pray that thou will make him very precious then. And hear us too, Lord, for the little church here. Lord, work by love and constrain by love. Lord, that there may be an exercised people here. Lord, that shall be brought to put on Christ by an open profession. Lord, we cannot but believe, Lord, that in this place there are gracious souls. Lord, constrain them to walk in the ways of thy command, to witness, Lord, what they have been shown and taught and indeed experienced, tasted and handled and felt of the good word of life. Lord, we make references sometimes to the birth, our birthday. Many make a fuss about their birthdays. Lord, may there be those here that shall have a spiritual birthday, O Lord, and shall be able to testify of it. Hear prayer for those who carry the responsibility in this place. Lord, it's a solemn burden. Help them, Lord, to cast their burden on the Lord. Lord, may the prayers that ascend from this place, Lord, that may they be heard in glory and answered on earth. Bless the ministry that stand in this place, Lord. We do pray too that thou would provide for this cause with an under shepherd. Lord, exercise a servant of God. Exercise the people of God. And may this exercise be brought together. And may in this place, Lord, that gift of a pastor, an under-shepherd, one who shall care for the flock, Lord, may it be granted. Oh, we would remember too, Lord, all such gatherings, wherever the truth is. Lord, wherever thy servants are this evening. Oh, in mercy, Lord, in goodness, in kindness, dear Holy Spirit, abide with thy people, abide with thy servants. And Lord, they are but messengers. Give them what to say. And Lord, it is thy work. Lord, we know it and we see it and we bless thee for it. Let thy work appear. It isn't man's work, it isn't the minister's. Lord, it's thy work that we seek for to appear in Zion and in the churches, amongst the people of God, in our own souls. Lord, hear us as we remember the bereaved this night. Lord, thou hast taken home to glory an aged servant, an aged soul, Lord. Lord, the work is finished. Lord, he is in glory. It was where he wanted to be. Thou hast prepared him on earth for heaven. Lord, we remember the widow. Lord, comfort her. Remember the church, Lord. Remember the family. Lord, remember us. Lord, we shall pass this way. Lord, others have gone before. We mourn regarding them, Lord. We're sorry and saddened to see them go. But Lord, we one day will come to that place when it will be said of us that he's gone. Lord, prepare us for heaven. As we sorrow, Lord, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope in this. Lord, we thank thee that a work of grace thou hast promised. Thou shalt see my glory soon when the work of grace is done. Partner of my throne shall be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me. Lord, we pray as we hear of these solemn things that it may speak to us, may indeed bring us to seek to know how it is with us. And so, Lord, hear prayer for those in affliction. Lord, we pray for the presence, the influence, and the work of the good physician. Lord, however the case is, however the concern is, the anxiety is, and surely it is so where there's affliction, Lord, may the Lord Jesus put his hand to that work and grant healing and sparing. But then on the other hand, Lord, may it not be just bodily. Oh, may there be a blessing in the soul. Lord, we don't ask for affliction. We never seek these things, but we do pray, Lord, that where affliction is, it may be balanced. Lord, we thought much of that word, dost thou know the balancing of the clouds. Lord, we never ask for clouds, but as thou wilt send them according to thy sovereign will, may there be blessings in that clouds. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Lord, where there's affliction, may there be a blessing. May they know much of Christ's presence. Lord, oh, his healing hand too. Remember all that mourn. Lord, we wouldn't forget any. Lord, and comfort them through the word of God. Look upon our poor nation. We are poor, Lord. Lord, we are in a dreadful state. But we're also a sinful nation, and we're the subjects of thy judgment. Lord, we ask for a thankful heart for all the mercy that we still have. Lord, the kindness that we have, liberty that we have, freedom that we have. Not many, Lord, not all nations have this freedom and liberty. But Lord, there is a withholding. Lord, are we thankful where there are sent rain and showers? But Lord, we feel to pray that it must be indeed a token of mercy. But wilt thou send further rain where it's needed, Lord? Because it is needed. Thou hast promised seed time and harvest. Remember thy promise. Lord, and hear us in this. Lord, not for our sake do we ask these mercies and favours. Lord, we're sinners. We know by being taught we're sinners, made us to feel we're sinners. Lord, it's not for our sake we ask these things. Lord, but we ask it all with the forgiveness of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 687. Ye broken hearts all, who cry out unclean, and taste of the gall of indwelling sin, lamenting it truly, and loathing it too, and seeking help duly, as sinners must do. Hymn 687.
seeking the help of God, I would ask your attention to our reading, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3. Chapter 42 of the prophecy of Isaiah and verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. The person in this text, the person in the first few verses, is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. What is quite noticeable first is that it speaks about what Jesus will not do. What he will not do. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. How are you, and how am I this night, in respect to our spiritual life? You may have heard this before, but I'm sometimes very cautious about using the word religion, because it is so all-embracing. But this is spoken and recorded, and it is a promise to those who have spiritual life in their soul, who have known days of blessing, who will know days of blessing. It may be applicable, this word, and the Lord knows that the Holy Spirit is only able to apply this word where he finds that preparation for it. Now, it may be in the early days of one's spiritual life that you are brought to be in this place, under this expression and this description. Or it may be that after some years of profession that you find yourself in this low place and condition, a bruised reed and a smoking flax. And whether it's in early days or in other days of experience, I'm sure of this, that there will be brought to such a soul many fears concerning the state of their soul, of their spiritual life. Some you can come across which seem to be very satisfied with the state of their own spiritual life. They all seem to be on that high spot. They don't seem to be troubled with things which would distress the believer, and so they go on. They seem to ride, as it were, in such a good place and position and experience. They don't have any doubts nor fears. But on the other hand, and you will find them right through God's holy word, and you will find amongst them too, as you are brought into contact with the real believers in Jesus, that they will have at times nothing to say, respect in their spiritual life, other than that they are in need. You've only got to look at the Psalms. The psalmist there speaks about his view of his own state and condition. And we read right through the book of Psalms these contrasting experiences coming out in words. Jesus said, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, you haven't got a lot. If you've got anything at all, you would say, oh, you have, you've got a hunger and you've got a thirst. And you know, the blessed people of God, if you fight battles with Satan, and if you're found pleading for mercy, God be merciful to me, a sinner, is not a worn out expression from a publican, but everyone that is like the publican, who is brought into the experience of the publican, will indeed have that example of need in his own soul. You see, the ways of God are past finding out. But he's one thing he has certainly promised to the dear people of God, that he shall not alter. That's one thing he promises. And another thing he promises is this, that once he loves, he will never leave. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Blessed characters, you may mourn over your sin, and I thank God if you do, and I know what it is to mourn over sin continually. Your conscience tell you. And then you come, of course, into that place of the accuser, Satan, or perhaps self. Self telling you, you might just as well give up. A believer's not like you. A believer is one of those happy people who rejoice and are glad all their days. But sin, well, that's destroyed you and you've got nothing to hope for. Yet the whole of Scripture, really, if you can trace it and the Holy Spirit help you to do so, it's so suitable is this gospel to blessed sinners, needy sinners, poor sinners. I thought just now, and I would rather read than try to form the words, but in the psalm, the Psalm 34 speaks of the poor and the needy. The psalm speaks that this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In the 40th psalm, it begins in a very gracious way. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me wholesome out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. How did he finish that psalm? Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Come to chapel sometimes in this condition, a bruised reed. Doesn't say much, does it? Doesn't describe a child of God very much. To the professor, well, it's a strange language, a bruised reed. Wouldn't give much for that sort of religion, I'd say. Where's the confidence? Where's the trust? Where's the faith? Where is this shining light that leads you on the way? Where is this trust? See, you have the condition in Luke of the publican and the Pharisee. And you can surely recite his words. I thank God I'm not as other men are. Well, what's the gospel to such then? What's the person of Christ to such? I thank God I'm not as other men are. You know where the children of God come? And I'm going to use a hymn, "Ah, but for free and sovereign grace, I still lived estranged from God, till hell approved in a stein place of my deserve, but dread abode. Amazed I see the hand that stopped me in my world career, a miracle of grace I stand, the Lord has brought my heart to fear." There's a deacon in this denomination said to me, "You know, John Newton wrote the highest hymn in the book, and he also wrote the lowest. The highest hymn is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. What's the lowest? 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? How did you become a bruised reed? A bruised reed shall he not break." There will be plenty of suggestions and plenty of temptations that the pathway that you're walking is not according to the mercy and goodness of God. How did you become a bruised reed? Oh, many things, dear friends, brings this low condition to be experienced. If the Lord has begun to teach you anything, he'll teach you you're a sinner. And the more it leads you into this state and condition of soul, in your own soul, over the condition of your nature that you was born with, the lower you'll get, you know, the lower you'll get. What have you got to tell the Lord? What have you got to trust in? What have you got to, what is your experience in the things which you believed you could trust in? Where the word of God is silent, we should be. But I've often thought, you know, how, what a blessed change grace made to Saul of Tarsus. Full of his religion, self-righteous to the extent of pride. And off he goes, serving Satan with a willing heart, until the Lord says, "Thus far and no further." And it brought him down to be a servant of God in a moment. A bruised reed shall he not break. How are you this night? How am I? Do you speak about this nothingness, this poverty, this emptiness, this weakness? You know, even Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "And who is sufficient for these things?" I read last Sunday the 7th of Romans. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ." Do you know what the text was? Well, you don't know what the text was. Well, I'll tell you what the text was. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." A bruised reed shall he not break. Do you fear he will? You see a bruised reed? Well, it can't bring forth fruit. Dear friends, a bruised reed may be a bruised reed, but it's got a root. And that root is in the covenant of grace. That bruised reed, it will abide upon that rock, Christ Jesus. And the mercy, and this is the mercy of the promise, that despite sin and iniquity, despite slips and falls, despite backslidings, and read of the prodigal, despite backslidings, he's still a son. And though you don't enjoy spiritual health as you used to, or you did at one time, or you desire to do so, the promise to such souls is he shall not break. There is a word, I may have said all this before and you have to forgive me, but in the epistle of John, in the third epistle, he writes to Gaius, "Whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And where the dear Lord works, you know, by his grace and by his mercy, he works so contrary to nature. Well, you would think somebody in a real religion would gain day by day some sweet experience. They would ascend from this body of sin and death until they walk, as it were, almost perfect before man and God. But it doesn't work like that. We used to have a minister in Kent, now gone to glory, used to say he loads their shoulders well with woe, and thus obtains his end. You see, one of the ways of blessing the people of God, you know, is by revelation. Well, things that are of Christ revealed to them. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. What a blessed day that is when the things of Christ are shown. And faith goes out and believes it and trusts it. What a comfort, what a consolation to your spiritual life is the things of Christ. What happens when he, as one said, spoke of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. That's revelation. And it's a painful revelation. Oh, he does, you know, the bruised reed shall he not break. Shows you your heart. You can't pick stones up, you know. You can't pick stones up. A believer in Jesus, a sinner saved by grace, has nothing to boast about in himself. Oh, may he boast in the things of Christ and of Christ. But he's got nothing. In Nehemiah, you'll find those words, so did not I, because of the fear of God. I hear this too, you know, there's acknowledgement sometimes, and I've read it and I've heard it, and it is good that it is acknowledged. The Lord's mercy that has kept some from open sin. You know, that is a great mercy. What about inward sin? What about transgression? What about sinful thoughts and sinful temptations? You know, when you sit in God's house and you listen to the truth and your mind is somewhere else, you hear it in your ears, but you don't hear it, as it were, with a spiritual appetite. What about those times when you have to be, when you feel you've grieved the Holy Spirit? And especially those who have tasted of that the Lord is gracious. Those who can testify to the honour and glory of the person of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit and of the mercy of God, who can testify of blessings and gracious blessings at that. But then you see there is a change. Sin, the Lord allows, permits. If you read the book of Ruth, and you read of Naomi coming back to Bethlehem, she said of the Lord's dealings, you know, I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again empty. What a blessing that was. What a mercy. If she didn't stay in Moab, she went to Moab, but there was a purpose of God in it. And it was overruled for her good and for others' benefit and blessing. Oh, but here we have a very sacred word to God's dear people. Whatever condition they come in, by sin or by Satan's way or their own natural heart, their inclinations, you know, grace didn't change the inclinations of your nature. And it doesn't. The Lord in his mercy, by his grace, may he bring you and I to hate sin more and to seek him indeed in all sincerity. But you see, the condition of the person here is described as a bruised reed. Well, it looks as though one more gust of wind will blow it over. One more trial, one more trouble will bring it to finish, to the finish. Not so, child of God. A bruised reed shall he not break. And it may be too that it is not just Satan and yourself. It may be in the teaching of the Holy Spirit in your soul to bring you, you see, it says, doesn't it? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You go and look at that word in a broad sense of the word. There were those who knew Jesus Christ by what he'd done. They believed on him because of what he'd done. Those that were healed, those that were restored, they were believers in Jesus. The man who was a lunatic, the Lord so delivered him from that, from the devil's work, the legion of devils that was within him and influencing him. And he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What great blessings they are. The eunuch, we read, was baptized and went on his way rejoicing. These were high spots in his spiritual life. And such are the people of God, have these high spots, these blessed seasons. Oh, I wouldn't discourage, dear friends, but you see, whilst you're in this tabernacle, you'll groan because of the burden. Fresh views of your own self. The Lord bring you to trust in him only. Let me go back to that word. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Who are they? In a spiritual interpretation, who are they that know anything of Jesus Christ? Only sensible sinners. Only sensible sinners. His people. Made sensible of sin by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the revelation of their own standing and state and condition. They come into this condition of bruised reed. They've got no strength. They've got nothing to speak about, as it were. The Lord won't break it. When you read the dealings of the permissive dealings of God with his people. When you read the book of Job, when you think what the Lord permitted Job to walk through, when he took his children away, when he took his property away, when he took his health away, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Do you know, as he went on, what things he said? But they were blessed things that came into that speech of Job. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But at the same time, in the confidence of faith, you know, he could speak such things. But he also said this, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Where there's life, dear friends, that will never be destroyed. Powers of hell shall never against this church prevail. That is God's own promise, and it shall not fail. But oh, when he himself lays trials and troubles into the pathway. When you look at a building, you know, it stands because of the foundation. Stands because of the foundation. Jesus Christ gave that example of a man who built his house upon a rock and a man who built his house upon a sand. But oh, what came against the house that was built on a rock? Yes, the foundations was all right, but the storm was just the same. The floods and the rain and the winds still blew, but it fell not because it was built upon a rock. What a mercy in the trials and troubles, your afflictions, your trials, your difficulties, family troubles, personal troubles, some that you wouldn't even speak about to anyone else. What a mercy that underneath the everlasting arms, there's a covenant engagement made for his dear people. And the security of that person, that church, that people, that is in the covenant is, that cannot alter, cannot change. Because he said it wouldn't. He maintains the life of God. Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, brought to a very low place for disobedience. I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. A bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. And I thought, how can I describe this smoking flax? And I suppose you might say, well, you can describe it as a light. Light that shines. A smoking flax. The light has got dim. Few, you can say, you would say, I suppose you would suggest that it would be that few could see the light of the gospel. Or the light of grace. Few can see it. Have you never been in a place when someone's been surprised that you've even got to chapel? I have, and I tell you something, it was very painful to witness that. I was in company with somebody once, and it turned out to be he used to go to the District Baptist Chapel in his village. I didn't know he was, but on the other hand, he didn't know I was either. And that was a real grief to my soul. It began to show me that there wasn't much light showing, wasn't much testimony, wasn't much evidence. But it says here, the smoking flax shall he not quench. And when it is his blessed will, you know, to bring his people into need, so that they're not resting on a confidence which is of the flesh, so they're not trusting in something that they would seem to think was an evidence of God's grace. And then he makes them to know that they themselves are fallen sinners. You see, to know Christ Jesus, to know aright, to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a right way, is to know you're a perishing sinner. Much is said of Jesus' blood, but our little's understood. Do you find a need of his blood? You believe that the Apostle John wrote that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So if you have any, and I say this very reverently as I can, as I am helped to do so, dear friends, if you're brought to seek to know the effect and the experience of the blood of Jesus, you know it was shed for many, and you know it was shed because of the sin of that many. But if in your heart and desire and spiritual life you find this desire to know his blood, don't be surprised when he shows you the vileness of your heart, the fallen state of your nature. See, where the Lord has promised to bless his people, and as he does bless them, he'll bring them into conditions whereby his mercy is so suitable to you, where his gracious blessings in salvation is, you're brought to need them as well as you're brought to know them. The bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. What would you give? How much could you write down? If you took an A4 piece of paper and a pen, what would you say about your religion now? Is there anything commendable about it? Do you know what? It would be a great mercy if you began to speak or write of the faithfulness of God. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And if you and I are graceful souls, it's because we are the subjects of his love. What a wretch is a sinner that is that solemnly knows mercy and yet finds this time and season where he has lost his comfort. Lost his comfort. Lost the sense of the presence of Christ. His heart is hardened, and the word of God is but words to his ears. He's brought into a place, you know, where time things rob and spoil. They do, you know, time things rob and spoil. The things of the week. Have you never gone up to chapel on a Sunday with a heart as hard as a seat? Have you never gone into the sanctuary of God? You desire to worship him, but you can't lift a finger towards that spiritual sense of worship. What a great mercy it is when he breaks through and softens that heart. When he speaks again into the soul, "Be not silent to me," the psalmist said. Perhaps you've known a time of silence. Perhaps you've known a time when you hope, as you look back in your experience, they were sacred seasons. Perhaps you're now in a dark place. It says in John 6, doesn't it? It's now dark and Jesus had not come to them. And as he is the one thing needful and altogether lovely to the people of God, so they mourn his absence. Great mercy, you know, to feel this condition. So you might say, well, it's a great mercy to see the promise of it. Yes, it is a great mercy, but it's also a great mercy to feel the need of this. You see, a spiritual religion is a very feeling religion, but it doesn't rest on your feelings. It rests, the feelings of one's soul is the need of the Lord to appear and to return and to revive. Like we've said lots of times, I'm sure here, as anywhere, David in his psalm of repentance said, "Restore." Who prays for restoration? Who has to close his eyes and beg in the house of God or in his own home, "Lord, restore my soul"? Well, I'll be found in that tender condition and state where the things of Christ are food and drink to my soul. Well, you know, what a blessed thing it is to need Christ. What a blessed thing it is, what a solemn thing it is to lose the comfort of his presence indeed. What a solemn thing to be taught of God under his divine teaching. But it's a great mercy when you see his covenant engagement to his people is an unalterable engagement, an unchangeable blessing. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Some of you can sweetly look back to good times. Good times in the house of God, good times in your own soul, sacred times. And then I must pick up and speak of those who are quickened by his grace, who are desiring, seeking, or longing for those revelations of Jesus. And all you seem to have is revelations of your sin. All you hear is, instead of words of love and mercy from his precious lips, is condemnation. And all you hear, as it were, is Satan at your elbow, as it were, discouraging you. Dear friends, what he's doing it because you are not his anymore. But the time you sang in that hymn, I don't know whether you noticed it, but some of us know the meaning of it. A time he has set to heal up your woes, a season most fit his love to disclose. Till he is ready to show his goodwill, be patient and steady, and wait on him still. The hymns describe the experience of the people of God, both of them tonight. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Sometimes, you know, the poor child of God doesn't know how he's going to continue. That he has the house of God. And I wouldn't exclude the service of God either in this. There are not a number of people who are separated, or shall we say, that doesn't have the experience of this. Oh, blessed be God, he's a faithful God. But many a time, I'm sure of this, I can only speak for myself, many a time I've come to the point where, well, all I've got is a text, if I've got that. But I've got to go. There's a waiting on him and there's a waiting for him, you know. I hope there's many of us, if not all of us, are found waiting upon him. But you know, in the exercise of God's grace in your soul and mine, you'll wait for him. Does he encourage you from time to time, you waiting souls, by speaking a word or drawing your attention to the word of his grace? It's not a word sometimes preached in this pulpit that, you know, such a waiting soul will seek to know and seek to experience. And you've gone home and you said, well, you know, that's just what I want. The Lord knows that's what I want. But you see, sometimes time goes on in these things. The Lord has a time to bless. In one of the Psalms of David, is it not, he says, the set time to favour Zion, yea, the set time has come. Oh, how often you look at these words and you think, it is your desire that the Lord will fulfil that word. Will I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it? Well, your eyes light on it and your heart leaps, as it were. That's just what I want, Lord. Just what I want. The words express the desires and the longings of hungry souls, whether they're in the way for a short period of time or been in the way a long time. And you go, you know, you anticipate. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you think, well, tomorrow it'll be a better day. And you'll find tomorrow's as bad as today, if not worse. But you know, there is a word, isn't there, in the wise man's writings. A time to every purpose under heaven. A time to every purpose under heaven. What grace is needed? What the grace of patience is needed? But where the Lord sets his word before his people, and there's raised up an anticipation of a day, or there's a hope placed in the soul that the Lord will indeed turn the captivity of Zion, and your soul as well. But this is the promise, this is the word that will encourage waiting souls. As I said, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about what he will not do. Many will tell you about what the Lord Jesus has done. And many people will tell you what he can do. But this word speaks of what he won't do. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. Have you been brought to a place where your prayers are just a repetition? Is it so dead within that it's like repeating written words? You know, you wouldn't read the Lord's Prayer as many churchmen do, because it's got no life in it. But it may be sometimes you're reading of the Word of God, or you're attending at the throne of grace. Well, it's almost just words, isn't it? What if he puts you in a bed of affliction? What if he brings you into a great trial, lays upon you something which will raise up, or will raise you up from this low state and condition? What happens if he tells you this, and I'm only repeating what the scriptures tell me, call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You don't pray for a day of trouble, but it may be the way in which the Lord will stir up your very soul, bring you into nearness, into desire, into a longing spirit, when he shows you the plague of your own heart. It's a very wonderful prayer of Solomon, wasn't it, when the temple was dedicated. One of the conditions, or there was many conditions that he brought before God, but that one was the plague of one's own heart. And you know, it's only the believer in Jesus knows anything of the plague of their own heart. It's only the believer in Jesus finds it to be a time of such opposition, such suggestions of the enemy. If the Lord shows you the plague of your own heart, what is the effect of it? Well, you know, sinners will be brought, sensible sinners, seared in their conscience by sin, will be found at the throne of grace. It's a wonderful mercy to have a throne of grace, wonderful mercy to believe in a throne of grace. But it's the way in which the Lord will bring his people to that throne of grace. I remember, oh, there's many providential mercies the Lord, I believe, brings his people into. They ask and they receive. But you know, there'll come a time when you find that you can't rest your soul on providential things. And you will find a void and emptiness. And you will find a longing spirit. I remember a deacon who's, I hope, in glory now, once said to me, you know, when one troubles all, the next one doth seize. And I said, well, I'll tell you something, I haven't got to that place yet. I've not got to that place yet. One trouble's not finished. And there's plenty of others. Spiritual troubles, troubles in your providential pathway. Then you'll find, you know, you've got troubles in your soul as well. And it'll bring you into this place, a bruised reed, a smoking flax. It's not got much to speak about, as it, this religion. Not much to boast about, that's what I mean. There's nothing fleshly in this religion, is there? There's poverty here, there's need. But there's also a special promise. And that promise is that the Lord's people will be upheld, supported and blessed and brought into life again. Spoken into life again. Brought into life. What seemed dead before, you know, what seemed to be low and distressing, or even less than that, worse than that, when you're in such a state of soul that you can't even feel distressed about it. A spirit of prayer, you can't command it, but the Lord will bring you into a pathway where he'll bring prayer out of you, unto himself. And that'll be a day of distress, but it'll be a day of blessing. You know, one of the evidences of grace is a simple evidence, but it's a blessed evidence, and that's the need of mercy. And people who, and those dear souls that are seekers after mercy, are a blessed character. They really are. Mercy is something which is given of God. Mercy is something that can never be earned, otherwise it wouldn't be mercy. Mercy is found in the person of Jesus. That's why it's such a blessed, such an experience to be. To seek for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, it's such a mercy because it's divine teaching that will bring a sinner to want mercy. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. One of the things that the children of God will have, they will have a checkered path, they will. They will have storms. They will have trials. And these things will indeed be under the divine teaching of this glorious Spirit. But they'll have something else too. They'll have victory. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. in that blessed chapter in the Corinthians, we find that word, don't you? But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Such a warfare is their experience. Such opposition, such low places, such distressing scenes. The Lord restore, you say. You'll gain the victory. Such a soul that is in warfare against sin and Satan and self will gain the victory, but they won't gain the victory by their own merits or ways. He'll bring them into that blessed. You know, when the Lord smiles on his people, when he speaks to them, it raises up comfort and hope, and they do what that dear eunuch did, went on his way rejoicing. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Wells will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Izzard on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 391. Jesus, friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release, a poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn 391.
thy blessing, Lord, upon thine own word. Oh, forgive and pardon what has been said amiss. Lord, as we leave thy house, go with us. When we return our homes, take care of us. Lord, set a watch over our mouth, keep the door of our lips. Lord, in thy mercy, bless us now. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and always. Amen.